And then y'all be seated. Amen. I titled the message this morning, How I Felt When God Gave This to Me. I cannot even imagine being one of the 12 disciples. Nor do I believe that I could even understand what these disciples went through. Now, there's some pictures here, but I want you to think about this. There are times in my Christian life where I wanted to be so much like one of the 12 disciples. Man, I could only imagine being there when he fed the 5,000. Could only imagine getting in the boat and Jesus lifting out his arms and going, okay, storm, be still, and it was still. Or think about standing right there in the midst of all of this, Mary and the other Mary's talking to him, my brother is sick, and he's dead, and Jesus goes, he's not dead. And even the scripture says, no, Lord, he's dead, he stinks. And then Jesus walks up, and he said, Lazarus, come forth. And here comes Lazarus with all of his grave clothes out. Can't even imagine being there. Or even the lady who has had an issue with blood. We're all walking down the street with Jesus, and all of a sudden Jesus stops and says, who's touched me? And the disciples are going, say what? No, somebody's touched me. Well, it's a crowd, Lord. No, somebody has touched me and my power has gone out. I can't even imagine sitting in a temple where Jesus is there and he's teaching all of the religious high people of the day. Can't imagine what that would have been like. Well, with all that said, there's days I'm glad I wasn't there. I just got to be honest with you. You know, I don't know about all them late night boat rides, okay? Yeah. Yeah, come on, let's get in the boat, Keith. Let's go to the other side. You know, or even standing there when Lazarus come out of the tomb. He dead, man. Back up, Jack. No. Or even when we sat there and he says, okay, Keith, go feed these people. With what? We ain't got nothing. Little boy comes up, got a couple fish and some bread. That ain't gonna work. And I cannot imagine sitting in that temple and Jesus teaching something that people really aren't even going to embrace. You know how awesome it would have been to be a disciple, but I got to tell you, you know, it would have been just as scary not to be one of those disciples. Here's the reason why. Because my actions would not amount to my words. I originally put down my actions wouldn't amount match my mouth because I'd have been talking trash just like them. I got to tell you, I mean, think about being in the boat. Now, you know, we armchair quarterback the disciples. But you know, when your boat is just about filled with water and it doesn't look real good out there, I'm running to somebody. And they ran to Jesus and they asked Jesus, don't you care that we're about to die? Well, I got to tell you, I'd have been there. I'd have been just like the rest. I'm going, Lord, it's Keith here. It don't look good on the outside of this boat, sir. And ain't no one walked on water yet that I know of. And then think about walking up to a leper. somebody that is an absolute social outcast, walking up to the leper and touching that leper, knowing that if I touch you, I get what you got. And in all my humanness, I'm going to go, I don't like it, but I'd rather you got it than me. So you keep it. And everybody goes, no, that's where we are in life. Or even thinking about church, all the things that the disciples had to go through. And in Luke it says, but he said to him, Lord, with you I'm ready to go both to prison and to death. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster is going to crow today before you've denied three times. We're just like Peter. We'll come to church this morning. We get on our face. We pray. We do all the things that God wants us to. And we go, oh, Lord, I'm a disciple. I'm there for you. I'll go out and share Christ. I'll do whatever you want to do. But then the first storm that comes, we run the other way. Matthew 28, and y'all know this by heart, but it says, and Jesus came up, spoke to them, said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And he ends it with a promise, lo, I'm with you always till the ends of the earth. Now, church, that was something that was given truly to the original disciples. But my statement to us, are we not disciples today? Their task was to go out and make disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made disciples who made disciples. And as you go down the list, we are the disciples that they at one point in time made. And our task today is to go make disciples and more disciples of more disciples so that one day, that they will do what you and I are currently doing this morning.
Right, amen.
Now here's where it kind of goes, I don't know if I really want to be that disciple. Connie and I talked this morning, you know, the friends of mine that, you know, we've prayed for, we've anointed with oil, Arnold and I went and visited, we've done everything that we know how to do that the Bible has told us to do. But John 14, 12 says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, which we do, it says, the works that I do, you're going to be able to do, and also greater works than these will you be able to do. Okay, so we know that the commission was to go out and make disciples. We understand this, but here's where the things kind of get off the wall a little bit, is that now the Great Commission and what Jesus is asking, now that commission has been passed on to you and me. You know, not only is this printed material in a book that we read to go out and make disciples, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them all that I command. And oh yeah, let me tell you, you can do the same works that I do, but even greater works than these can you do. And then I'm going, woo, wait a minute, oh. Because that's scary. That means I got to step outside my box to go do what he's asked me to do.
Amen.
That means that I am not responsible for the results. But I want to. It's tough. One thing to go, I'm a believer of the Lord and I love the Lord with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my body. But now all of a sudden Jesus is going, I'm going to pass that commission on to you so that Leo, you and Leon can go pass it on to others. And Daryl, you can pass it on to the people at work. And you know, we just keep on going down the road. That's scary. And it's one thing to say, I really want to do it. But I got to tell you, there's days that I go, I don't know if I want this at all. Here's the reality. And think about this. In John 6, it says, therefore Jesus, lifting up his eyes, seeing that a large crowd was coming to him, he said this to Philip. Now this is like, okay, he doesn't have the answer. We know that Jesus has got the answer. I think there was a question behind the question in this for Philip, Because he said, where are you going to buy the bread so that all these people can eat? This he was saying to test him. Not tempt, but test him. For he himself knew what he was intending to do. And look at Philip's answer. 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, for everyone to receive a little. See, God is going to call us to do everything that the great commandment has called us to do, church. But I got to tell you, in the midst of this, you can't look at yourself to get it done. It's not about you and me. It's about what God has called us to do. And when you and I begin to look at what God has asked us to do in our own strength, naturally we're going to go, I can't do this. I can't heal anybody. I can't save anybody. I can't do those kinds of things. And that's when it gets scary. But we look at what we can do versus what he can do. Now, I'm going to step on toes when I say it this morning, but why do Christians come to church? I got to tell you, sometimes people come in for religious penance. I think sometimes people come in to be entertained. And see, this is not a place for entertainment, because God already humbled some of y'all this morning. God put you on your face this morning. And God pricked your heart this morning to go, if I can break that heart, then you're going to be able to listen to me. Because you see, God wants us. He's the potter. We're the clay. And there's not one of us in this room has been molded exactly what God wants. We are all a work in progress. And that's why the Bible says none of us are perfect. No, not one. Some people come in for music. And I got to tell you, that's probably one of the biggest challenges in church today. In our church, there's 23 nationalities. We got all different age brackets here. Some like it old, some like it new. Some like it fast, some like it slow. I told Dolores to handle it. She's done a good job. Yeah, it's out of my wheelhouse. I said, girl, I don't know how to balance all this out. Some like it hot, dear, and some like it cold. I mean, that's where we're at. A lot of people come for gifts. See, a lot of people think, you know, oh, man, if we could just start speaking in tongues in this church, we're right where God wants us to be. Other people go, it's all about healings, and other people, it's all about miracles. And God revealed to me the other day, the reason that people come to church is to get. That's one of the biggest reasons that we come. We come to get. And I want to show you how we're out of balance. Matthew 4:19, and he said to them, follow me, and I'm going to make you fishers of men.
That's it. Amen.
Now, you and I have to catch the fish before we clean it. Just a reality. Will miracles draw people? Oh, you bet they will. Miracles provide evidence that our God is real. Miracles provide evidence that God's power is real. Miracles will change everybody's life in this room today. But I got to tell you, miracles alone will not make a disciple. See, God is not concerned with miracles. Why did God go out and do the things that he did? Why did he still the storm in the boat so that the disciples could see that God was a God of power?
Amen.
Why did he heal the lady that had the issue of blood? To make her feel better? No. So that she would understand that God was a God of power. And why, in the midst of all the people that were there, did he go over there and bring Lazarus from the dead? to show us his power? I think he wanted to show us that he was real. So that people would understand that we worship a God that is real, a God that is all-powerful, a God that is all-knowing, and a God that can be everywhere, anytime. Amen. But I also learned out of this is that God wants to show the church, especially with Lazarus, it ain't on your time, it's on my time. Because Mary and the other Mary said, you know, if you'd have just been here. And they look at it in their own strength because they even said, you know, he stinks, man. He's been in there for a couple days. But see, Jesus said he don't stink. It's okay. And then he brought him forth. And a lot of us in this room have counted things dead already. A lot of us that looked at things and go, it's done, it's over. But see, that's in your will. That's in your power. But with God, nothing is ever dead.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Here's the Christian dilemma that I had. And Connie Fuentes and I talked for a little bit this morning. There are people that will come and probably have come to this church that are blind in some way, shape, or form, spiritually or mentally, physically. I don't know. And sad to say, a lot of people leave this church the same way in which they came in. There's a lot of people will come in here today that are sick, and they're going to leave just as sick when they leave today. There's a lot of people that will come in this church broken, and if you really followed them, you could see little pieces of glass shards behind their brokenness as they walk out the building, and they haven't changed at all. See, one of the problems with church life today is that nothing seems to change. We have prayed for those to be healed. We have prayed for marriages to be reconciled. We have prayed for the sick. We have prayed for the, we have done everything. And if the church is to do greater things than he did, where's the power? Where is it at? Where's it gone? Acts 2:17 says this, and it shall be in the last days that God says that I will pour forth of my spirit on all of mankind, on your sons, your daughters. They're going to prophesy. Young men shall see visions. Old men shall dream dreams. See, I believe that we're on the last days, whether someone wants to agree or not. That's just my opinion. I think you can see things scripturally to go, you know, things are kind of getting close to the end of the book. Is that 1,000 days or 1,000 years? Do not know and do not care. But here's what bothers me in the midst of this, is that so many of you come to church today and you leave the same way that you came. Across America today, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of people in churches that will walk in churches and they're going to leave the same way that they came. We have missionaries that are across the globes that talk about people being healed and the dead being raised. Why not here? Why can't it happen right here? I've talked to people who have literally had a child in their arm that was dead, and the child took a gasp of breath after they prayed for it, and that child came back to life. See, we look at Pentecost today, and Pentecost is not the ending. For a Christian, Pentecost is just the beginning. Amen. You guys, we said last week, we talked about dispensationalism. And that's a term where people say that all the gifts are finished. At Pentecost, it was over. But church, I got to tell you, there was ever a time in America where God's gifts and powers and realness needs to be seen. The time is right now. We live in a world, church, that I said last week that GQ magazine says that the Bible is useless. Scholars claim that the supernatural is nonsense, but look at all the different paranormal programs that are on TV where people want to go out and chase the demons. If the supernatural is not real, then they're lying to themselves. The postmodern mindset believes that there are no absolutes. And here's one of the things that bugs me. We can fill up arenas all over America, but we can't clear out one stinking hospital of those that are sick. Why? What's the problem? Let me tell you what church is not. First of all, it's not a sideshow. It's not a circus. It's not a place where we want to come in here and see Jesus and God and the Holy Ghost do all of their magic. It's not a place where you come in here and talk about your self-dependence and this will step on your toes, but we don't own a Luby's franchise in here either. You don't come in here and get to pick out what you want out of the Bible and what you don't want out of the Bible. Either you pick it all or you pick it none. One of the presidents, and I think it was Bush, says, "I'm not eating broccoli." Well, I got to tell you, in the book, if God says in the book of Psalms, eat broccoli, you don't have a choice. You better gain the appetite and get the desire and start eating. We don't get to pick and choose what we like. We might not understand what God has told us to do. And I don't understand it all. But church, those are the things that God, that the church is not. But let me tell you what the church is. Church is a place where God brings us every Sunday to fellowship with one another. We prayed for you. We prayed for you when you was in the hospital. I was a little upset you didn't invite me over for all that meat you had on your barbecue pit. That's one of the things you and I are going to talk about. Okay? Well, you laughed, man. You didn't invite me either. But see, we come in here and a church is a place where you remember what all that God through Christ has done for you and me. The other thing is that a church is a place where we bring our sons and our daughters and they have great expectation. We come in here expecting God to do what God said that he would do. And it's a time to understand that Jesus' miracles had a lot deeper purpose than you and I could ever imagine. But it's also a time to understand that the miraculous only comes from the supernaturally divine power of our God for a purpose and a plan. But oh, church, it's a time to remember that Jesus brought life to Emmanuel. Church, it's a time to remember that God is with us. It's a time to remember that God said, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." It's a time to remember it's all about the relationship that God has for you and for me. But church, I got to tell you again that Pentecost was not the ending. To say that all the gifts ceased is absolutely just makes no sense at all, because we live in a world today, again, where the postmodern says there are no absolutes, where the scholars go, "Oh, all that spiritual stuff is nonsense," and GQ says that the Bible is worthless. And again, if there's ever a time that the world needs to see that we worship a God that is real, today is today, and you are the source to make it happen. Well, church, how do we get to the other side? Psalms 23 says, "Even though we walk through the valley of the shadow," if you read King James, it says death, but in Hebrew, the word death means darkness. How do we walk through the darkness of life? You know, we watched TV the other night, and I finally told Pam, I said, "I'm tired of watching it," because everything on there had to deal with cancer, and I just, it's like, I'm tired of watching all that mess. I want something that lifts you up, not tears you down. So how do you get to the other side? Well, candidly, first by kingdom principles. See, one of the challenges for the church today is this. If God's word says it, then that's good enough. No more, no less. But the other thing, and hopefully I don't step on toes on this, this Bible is not up for personal interpretation. And a lot of people will interpret it to fit their means and their ways. Second, the Great Commission was to make disciples. And again, are we not disciples? And third, Jesus himself told his disciples that we could do the same thing that he did, but even greater things. But church, here's what really touches me, is that should there not be signs and wonders in church? Should there not be people have the boldness to prophesy? Should there not be people in church that would give a word of wisdom because God says so? Should we not experience God's gifts? And should you and I not come to church on Sunday morning expecting God's word to be just as alive as it was thousands of years ago? I do. When I lay my hands on someone, as the Bible says, I pray with a great expectation that that word of God is imparted in their life. And the Bible says that that word will not come back void. And that word was designed for a specific purpose. And that's why we do what we do. Now, I curse today, but I got to tell you, when God's wants meet our needs, all hell's going to break loose. I got to tell you. You think about what God wants, and you think about your needs, and you think about what's burdened us down, and when God's wants meet our needs, the bondage breaks, the chains fall down, and hell breaks loose. The Spirit-empowered life, church, doesn't make things happen. But a Spirit-empowered life allows the Spirit-empowered person to avail themselves to God. See, we don't have the answers, but we know the one that does.
And hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
And again, church, we don't need another Pentecost, and this is why the Holy Spirit's already here. See, here's what God has revealed to me. What we need more than ever is the kind of spiritual hunger that was in the upper room, Leon.
Amen.
We need that kind of spiritual hunger where people are not so concerned. They had no idea when Jesus says, don't leave because I got a gift for you. They had no clue what was going to go on. But what the Bible says that they did is that they were of one accord, and they prayed, 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 and whoo! The Holy Spirit fell in that place. And church, I got to tell you, in this church, when we get that place, that there is such a spiritual hunger that we will pray and that we will pray and that we will pray, we too can usher in the Holy Spirit in our church, in our lives, and in our family. I'm going to close with this, and I want you to think about it. If you want signs and wonders, and I do, then stop focusing on the miracles and start focusing on your relationship with God.
That's right, amen. Hallelujah.
See, there has to be a hunger and a thirst for spiritual righteousness. You and I don't get to draw this picture of religion the way you and I want to draw it. Because you see, it's already been drawn. The best way to get up to God is to get down on your knees. And when you get down on your knees, now you're humbled.
Right.
And then God begins to talk to you. But church, I want to close with this. Emmanuel is here. God is with us. And what does that mean to you? Connie, in her lesson this morning that she taught to the prayer people, was this: if God came to you, or Jesus came to you today to go, "Who do you say that I am?" What would you say? And it's pretty easy for us to go, "Oh, you're the Lord." No, what would you say? If Jesus asked you today, "I want you to leave this place today. I want you to go to 288 and 518. I want you to get a big piece of poster board and write on it, 'I will pray for you right now,' would you do it?" Or if Jesus says, "I want you to leave here and go to Randall's, I want you to stand in front of that door, and every time you see somebody that appears to be sick, I want you to lay your hands on them and pray." Do you have the boldness, church, to do that? Amen. Emmanuel is here. And because of that one proven truth, I encourage this church today to rise up.
Yeah.
Get excited for this reason. Because with God, it's all possible.
Amen.
Give him a hand clap of praise this morning.